So today I want to continue with our series, part two, titled, Why Were You Born? I'll begin with a very similar introduction that I gave in part one, and I began with a question. The question is, have you ever asked yourself why you were born? Why are you here? Why were you born? As we covered in part one, the question goes way beyond the circumstances or the situations in which you were born, or even the situation in which you currently find yourself. Because believe it or not, the answer as to why you were born is the same answer for every human being that has ever or will ever live. That's incredible understanding. The reason why you were born, the reason why I was born, the answer is the same. In part one, we began answering the question by looking into the only book that God supplied mankind to provide us with the answer. That book is God's Bible. There are certainly many other writings, many other studies around this question, but the one book that God has provided mankind to answer the question, why you were born, is the Bible. The Bible reveals that we are not animals made after any kind, but we were made in the image and in the likeness of God. Image has to do with form and shape. Likeness has to do with similarity and character or nature between persons or things. Man, therefore, was given rulership and dominion over the physical earth, over the physical creation. Let's return back to Genesis chapter 1, begin this part 2 in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. Man was given rulership and dominion over the physical earth, over the physical creation. Here in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God then, after giving man this responsibility of dominion, God placed in man the spirit of man. And that spirit of man gives man the power. It gives us the mind, the thought, the creativity, the decision-making powers beyond that of animals. Way beyond that of animals, giving mankind God-like power over physical creation. Go with me over to Job, chapter 32 and verse 8. That spirit of man is an entity, an ingredient, a substance of God that God created for man and placed within man to help us to be able to have this dominion over everything. And the Bible talks about this both in the New Testament and here in the Old Testament. Job chapter 32, verse 8 says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. That spirit in man comes from God. It's a gift from God that allows us to have dominion over the earth. 1 Corinthians, let's look and see what it says in the New Testament. This truth is revealed in the New Testament as well. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 says this, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? There are things that we know as human beings that animals will never understand. And what allows us to know those things, what allows us to make decisions about those things, is this spirit in man. God called man by the name mankind, but mankind was made in the image and likeness of God and given the spirit of man, which is in him. But man was not made after the God kind. We covered that in part one. Man was not made after the God kind yet. Yet. To be made after the God kind, man must have the very character of God and be made of the same substance of God, which is spirit. The substance of God is spirit. We have to have the character of God, and we have to have the substance of God, which is spirit. Man must be fully made of the Spirit of God to be immortal like God, in order to be added eternally to the family of God. We must be immortal. We must be made of the Spirit of God. Why were you born? Why are you here? What is the purpose of your life? And what is your ultimate destiny? The Bible reveals that it's for you and I and all of mankind that has ever lived or will ever live to be made after the God kind. We are here to be made after the God kind, not just his image, not just his likeness, but also his character and his substance. Both his character and his substance. Why were you born? Ultimately, it is for you to become an eternal, immortal member of the family of God in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it is for you to become God after the God kind. After the God kind. Let that sink in for a moment. Your ultimate destiny, the ultimate destiny of every man, woman, and child is to become God. To have the name of God placed upon them. To be of the God kind. To be made after the God kind, we must have the character of God and must be made of the same substance of God. Now let's consider what it means to have the character of God. And then we will look at what it means to be made of the same substance of God. First, to be made after the God kind requires the development of the character of God. What is character? What is character? This is the Oxford English Dictionary. It says this of character. Character, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Character, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So when we speak about the character of God, it is therefore the mental and moral qualities distinctive to God. It is how God thinks, how God operates, the morality of God, what is acceptable to God, what is distinctive to God. You know, we may hear a lot about the character of individuals, the morality of a nation or a government, the morality within certain families or politicians' morality, or morality of an individual person. We may have opinions about the changing morals in society or the mental qualities and decisions and conclusions adopted or enforced by society. But when we understand that we were born to be made ultimately after the God kind, meaning to have God's character, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to God, that means it is not left up to man to decide on our own what is moral, what is right, what is acceptable. It's not left up to us. God determines that. Because our ultimate destiny is to be made after his kind. His kind includes his character. And if we are made after the God kind, then we must look to God to understand his character. And how do we find out what God's character or godly character looks like? By examining God's word, by looking into his word. Now, if you were to sum up the character of God, the mental and moral quality distinctive to God, what would you say? You know, a better question is, what does God's word say as a summation of God's character? As a summation of who God is, his character. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. 1 John 4, verse 8. First John 4, verse 8 says this: "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." That is the summation of God's character, who God is. Summation of God's character. Drop down to verse 16. 1 John 4 and verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." These two verses provide a very clear three-word summary of the character of God. God is love. That is a fantastic place to start in understanding the character of God. If God is love, and we are to be made after the God kind in character, then our character must be love. But not just any type of love. God's love. Love as defined by God. Society will try to tell us what love is, and that's fine for society. But if we want to be made after the God kind, after the character of God, then we have to see what God's character is, because God is love. God is love. And it is God who defines that love that he expects us to have. Both these verses point to the fact that it is God's intent and desire that we come to know him, to understand him, his mental and moral quality of love, that we come to love him. Coming to love God is to have the character of God. The character of God. We are born to be eventually made after the God kind, and to be made after the God kind means to have the character of God, which means we are to love God like God loves us. Like God loves us. Drop down to verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19 says this: "We love him because he first loved us." He first loved us. We love him. We love God because he first loved us. But how do we love God? What does God's word teach us about loving him, about developing the character of God, about developing the love of God in us, developing the character of God in us? Go with me over to John. John 14, verse 15. John chapter 14 in verse 15. How do we love God? What does God's word teach us about loving him, about developing the character of God, the love of God? John 14 in verse 15, it says this: "If you love me, keep," that word "in keep" actually means you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not just keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now we're getting to the root of what it means to be able to have the character of God in us. We're getting to the root of what it means with regard to why we were born. If you love me, keep my commandments. We were born to be made ultimately after the God kind in his character and in his substance. God's character can be summed by the truth that God is love. God loved us, and we must come to love him. And as we keep God's commandments, we love God and develop the character of God. By keeping God's commandments, we develop the character of God. Having the true knowledge and understanding and mind to love God, to keep his every commandment, comes into the heart and into the mind through God's Spirit. God placed within us the spirit of man that allows us to intelligently be sensitive to and understand the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God added to the spirit of man or influenced upon the spirit of man that helps us to understand God's love, to understand God's commandments. God grants us the ability to love him if we humbly yield in obedience to keep his commandments. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. God grants us the ability to love him. He provides us his spirit so that we can learn and we can understand how to love him. Here in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, it says here, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." God has some incredible plans for those who love him, some tremendous plans, eternal life for every human being who ever lived or will ever live. Why? Because God loves us. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." We come to understand these things through God's Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" Right? The things that we understand as human beings that are very different from animals, God says you understand that because of the spirit of man which is in you. But it goes on to say here, "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." Except the spirit of God. It is not up to us to decide what love is or how to love if we are to be made after the God kind. God tells us what love is. God tells us how to love. God tells us how to have the character of God by revealing it to us in his Bible through God's Spirit into our minds because of the presence of the human spirit to reveal to us why we were born, why we are here. Lesson 10 of the Life, Hope, and Truth Bible Study course goes into greater detail regarding how God's Holy Spirit actually works and lives in those whom God is working with. Goes into a lot more detail. But God's commandments, God's law, God's commandments, which were given to all mankind, instructs us on how to love God, how to have the character of God, which is necessary for a person to be changed into the substance of God and live forever. God's commandments reveal that. God's Spirit made that possible, made God's word possible. Revealed his law, and God makes that available to all of mankind to be able to read and understand and apply his commandments. Christ says, as we read in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. you will keep my commandments. Now, if we were to summarize God's commandments as the key to eternal life, as the key to loving God, what would you say? Again, better yet, how does God's word summarize the love of God, which is necessary to obtaining eternal life and living forever? How does God summarize his commandments? Well, there was a lawyer who asked this exact question. Go with me over to Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. This lawyer wanted to know how to inherit eternal life. He wanted to know how to live forever. He wanted to know how to be immortal. In other words, he wanted to know how he could take on the name of God, become a part of the God family, in a sense, how he could be God. He wanted that answer. So it says here in Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, tested Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to live forever? What shall I do in order to be changed from this mortal body to an immortal body? What shall I do so that I will never die?" A tremendous question. Verse 26, Christ said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The character of God in man, the character of God in a woman, the character of God in a child that leads us to being made after the God kind and is the reason and purpose for why we were born, is to come to the place where we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus Christ's reply was in verse 28, and he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Do this, and you will be on that road to eternal life. Eternal life. And the only way for a human being to have eternal life is for us to develop the character of God and then to be changed into the substance of God. Because right now we are physical. We will die. We are mortal. But to be given God's Spirit in the abundance to which we will be absolutely changed from mortal to immortal requires that we have the love of God. The character of God is defined by loving God and loving your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Everybody's your neighbor. Matthew 5, verse 44 tells us, love your enemies. Your enemy is your neighbor. Bless those who curse you. Those who curse you are your neighbor. Do good to those who hate you. Those who hate you is your neighbor. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Everyone's your neighbor. Move me over to Matthew 22, verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. Matthew recorded a conversation with Jesus Christ and a lawyer where Jesus Christ makes clear the greatest of God's commandment, which is to love. You see, the one lawyer asks, "What must I do to live forever. This lawyer asked a different question. This lawyer asked, what is the greatest of your commandments? Here in Matthew 22, beginning in verse 35, it says, then one of them, a lawyer asked Jesus Christ a question, testing him, saying, teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus Christ in Matthew and the lawyer in Luke quoted from the book of God's law. They both confidently quoted Deuteronomy 6. Go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Because this truth is throughout the New Testament and throughout the Old Testament, because it defines the character of God. The character of God that can be summed up in love God and love your neighbor. Why were we born? We were born firstly to learn to love God and to love our neighbor the way that God loves, on his terms, based on scripture. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This law of love has to be all over you, inside you, in your mind, in your heart, before your eyes. Now, what exactly are those commandments that define the love of God and the love of neighbor and leads man to develop the character of God, leads man to develop the mental and moral qualities of God, to help man to become like God and to be made after the God kind and live forever? What are these commandments that he is speaking about here? The commandments are the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments of God are broken down to love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor. The character of God is broken down to loving God and loving your neighbor. Go with me over to Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Why were you born? You were born to develop the character of God. The character of God is love. Love is broken down by loving God and loving your neighbor. The law of God, the commandments are given here by God, broken down by love God and love your neighbor, to teach us the character of God. Here in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he goes into the first four commandments, which is love God. Number one, verse 3, you shall have no other God before me. Commandment number 2, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Commandment number 4, in loving God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Four commandments, love God. The character of God, love God. And then the last six commandments, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. The fifth commandment, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Number six, commandment six, verse 13, you shall not murder. Commandment number seven, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number eight, verse 15, you shall not steal. Commandment number nine, verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment number 10, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. On these 10 commandments, summarized by loving God and loving neighbor, stands all the law of God and the prophecies of God. The law of God and the prophecies of God, and leads to eternal life. They represent the character of God, the mental and moral qualities of God that must be in us in order for us to be made after the God kind. We were born to be made after the God kind. For now, we are in the image and likeness of God. But man was not made after the God kind yet. Yet. To be made after the God kind, man must have the very character of God. The character of God is defined in God's word and summarized by the truth that God is love. And as God loves us, we must love God and love our neighbor. We show that we have the character of God in us by loving God and by loving our neighbor God's way, as defined in the Ten Commandments and in God's word, the Bible. If we want to be made after the God kind, it is not up to us to define the way we love God or the way we love our neighbor. God's word, the Bible, defines that love for us. Not society, not a nation, not a government, not ourselves, but God. But God. If we have the character of God, then God, according to his loving grace, will in the future change our physical body into a spirit body, granting us eternal life, resulting in us being made after the God kind, and thereby fulfilling in totality the reason and purpose for why we were born. Not just to have the character of God, but then to be changed into the very substance of God, to be made immortal, and to live forever. That is why every man, woman, and child was born. To be made after the God kind, firstly, requires the development of the character of God, which is the love of God. Secondly, to be made after the God kind is to be made of the same substance of God. To be made of the same substance of God. Go with me over to John chapter 4 and verse 24. What is God's substance? What is God made of? John chapter 4 and verse 24. John chapter 4 and verse 24. It says here, God is spirit. God is spirit. That is the substance of God. God is spirit. And it goes on to say that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. God is love. God is spirit. Again, those two reasons why we were born, to love God and to be made into the substance of God, which is spirit. God is love. God is spirit. God is not flesh and blood. God is spirit. To be made after the God kind, we must be spirit as well. No longer live as a physical being, but live as a spirit being, having a body that is spirit. A body that is spirit. This spirit body making us immortal after God, where we can inherit the kingdom of God, occurs after our death and our resurrection. It comes after death and our resurrection. Notice what Jesus Christ teaches about this conversion process. The conversion process from physical being to spirit being. Go with me over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. God, through Jesus Christ, under the instruction of God, teaches about this conversion process from physical to spiritual. Jesus Christ is here speaking with Nicodemus. Here in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't see the kingdom of God unless you are spirit. Unless you are spirit. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water," speaking of baptism, "one is born of water," speaking of baptism, "and the Spirit," speaking of becoming a spirit being, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." It's necessary. Don't build some false religion and false hope around being born again. That's exactly what we've seen happen in society. God says that which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. To see the kingdom of God, we must be spirit." We must be spirit. God will not make a spirit without us first having the character of God. But once we are made spirit, we then will be after the God kind, fulfilling the purpose for which we were born. Now, how does that rebirth, how does this change from physical being to spirit being happen? How does it happen? Consider this teaching by Paul. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. How does this rebirth, how does this change from a physical being to a spirit being happen? How does it happen? Consider this teaching by Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when at the last trumpet." How? "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed." That incorruptibility points to the character of God. You cannot be corrupted physically, nor mentally, nor spiritually. Incorruptible and immortal. For us to be made after the God kind and live as immortal beings in the kingdom of God, we must be changed from physical to spiritual. Verse 53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality." You see, it's again speaking to the character of God and the change in the substance. Verse 54, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The answer. What must I do to obtain eternal life? You have to put on incorruption and you have to put on immortality. You put on incorruption, you put on immortality. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. The change from physical being to spirit being takes place at a specific time in the future. It said, at the last trumpet. To enter into the kingdom of God, we must first die a physical death and then be raised incorruptible and immortal as a spirit being. This change does not happen immediately upon death. It will not happen until this period of time comes, which the Bible calls the time of the last trumpet. Therefore, even during the time when Jesus Christ walked the earth as a human being, no human being had been changed into a spirit being. No human being had ascended to heaven where the throne of God currently is. Until the last trumpet blows, only Jesus Christ would be changed from spirit being to human being and from human being to spirit being. Only Christ. Only Christ. Go with me over to John chapter 3 and verse 13. John 3 and verse 13 makes this very clear. That transition from human being to spirit being takes place at this period of time, the last trumpet. Here in John chapter 3 verse 13 it says, "No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." No one has ascended to heaven. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. It says here, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David." Now, David was a man that God says is a man after my own heart. Where is David? Where was David at the time of Jesus Christ? Where is David still? It says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Acts chapter 2, verse 34. Drop down to verse 34. It says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Speaking of Jesus Christ, that period of time when Jesus Christ makes all enemies the footstool happens at the end of the days, during that time of the last trumpet. It's when that process begins. But it is God's desire and purpose that every man, woman, and child who has ever lived be given an opportunity to develop the character of God and in the future be changed from a physical being to a spirit being. That is why we were born. That is why every human being that walks the face of this earth was born. To gain the character of God and to be changed from a physical being into the spirit being, into the very substance of God. You know, it is so much the love and desire of God the Father and Jesus Christ for mankind to be made after the God kind. To be made after the God kind in character and to be made after the God kind in substance, that God gave his son's life to make that possible. Go with me over to John 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. It was so much the love and desire of God the Father and Jesus Christ for us to be made after the God kind that God the Father and Jesus Christ decided that Jesus Christ would give his life to make that possible. It says here in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." That's why we were born. God wants us to have everlasting life. He wants us to be immortal, incorruptible spirit beings. Verse 17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Lottie, Dottie, and everybody be saved. That's what God's purpose is. That's what his desire is. That's why we were born. One who believes in God is one who does what God says. It is the one who keeps God's commandments. And the one who keeps God's commandments is the one who loves God. And to love God is to develop the character of God. And developing the character of God leads to God granting the gift of eternal life by changing them in the future from physical to spirit. From physical to spirit. The purpose in Jesus Christ's coming, the reason for why you were born, is to be gifted eternal, everlasting life. Eternal, everlasting life. Go with me over to John 6, verse 38. John 6, verse 38. This is what Jesus Christ said in declaring his reason for coming down from heaven to the earth. Why did Jesus Christ come from the heavens to the earth? God in the flesh. He says here in John chapter 6, verse 38, Christ's own words. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life." Everlasting life. "And I will raise him up at the last day." I will raise him up at the last day. In the last day, the period of time, the last trumpet, the change will come. The period of time, the last trumpet, the change will come. It will come. To be made after the God kind is to be made of the same substance of God. Eternal, everlasting spirit. To be eternal, everlasting spirit. We must not only have the character of God, but to be made after the God kind, we must be eternal, everlasting spirit, a spirit being. Why were you born? To be made after the God kind. We must and we will, if we follow God's law, through God's mercy and grace, be changed. What must we do to fulfill the purpose for which we were born? We must develop the character of God by understanding what God's word, the Bible, tells us to do, by understanding how to live, and then do it. And then do it. That is our part. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. We have to develop the character of God. We have to look into God's word and understand what God's word tells us about how to live, and then do it. This is what Christ said here in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, he that comes to me, hears God's word and does them, I will show him who he is like. What is this person like who hears God's word, who hears the commandments of God and does them? Verse 48, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. The rock is God's word. The rock is Jesus Christ. That's where we have to have our foundation. Our foundation is built by doing what God's word says, by following the directives to love God and love mankind God's way. The way that God's word directs us to. Not society, not ourselves. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation. Yes, you built a house, but you built it without a foundation. You didn't build it on rock, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The ruin of that house was great. Why were you born? Why were you born? You and I, and every man, woman, or child that has ever or will ever live, was born to eventually develop the character of God and be fully made of the Spirit of God for the purpose of being added immortally and eternally and everlastingly into the family of God. That's why you were born. One final passage of scripture. Go with me over to Psalm 82 and verse 6. Psalm 82 in verse 6. Why were you born? You were born to be made after the God kind. You were born to be God's. It says here in Psalm 82 verse 6, Jesus Christ makes reference to this verse also in dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes. Here in Psalms 82 verse 6, it says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That's our future. That's why we were born. You are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. That is why we were born. But until that time, Christ continues here in verse 7, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Then verse 8, a prophecy looking towards that time of the last trumpet. Arise, O God, speaking of Jesus Christ, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. I said, you are gods. Why were you born? To be made after the God kind, to become God, to have the name of God as your family name, and to live immortally and eternally and everlastingly as a spirit being in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, forever, forever and ever.